Okay, good evening, everyone. This week's Parsha is Parsha's Vayera, Tav Shin Pei. Let us begin from the beginning of the Parsha, page 78, Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Aleph, chapter 18, verse 1. Vayera Elav Hashem, Ve'eloinei Mamre. Hashem appeared to him, referring to Abraham, in the plains of Mamre. He was sitting at the door of the tent in the heat of the day. So this is the third day after his bris. It's a very, very hot day. And he's sitting at the opening of his tent. Why is he sitting at the opening of his tent? So Rashi tells us, he's sitting there to see, in case somebody passes by, that he'll bring them into his house. Essentially, Hashem, Rashi tells us, Hashem made it so hot so that there should be no travelers and that Avram should have no guests, so that he should be able to recuperate from his bris. But at the end, Avraham is still sitting there by the door of his tent waiting to see if he can bring in a guest. So many commentaries point out that, you know, it's very interesting here the fact that Avraham is sitting waiting for guests. The mitzvah of achnasas archem, the mitzvah of hospitality, would seem to be that if somebody needs hospitality, then there's a mitzvah to perform hospitality. But if there's no one around to perform the hospitality to, then okay, there's no mitzvah. But Abraham seeks to bring in guests. And with that, we can explain a very well-known saying from a Chazal. The saying goes, Yosef Mimasha Habal Habayas Oisel Ha'ani, Ha'ani Oisel Habalabayas. More than what the homeowner does for the poor man does for the homeowner. What does that mean? So it could mean, based on what we see by Avraham Avinu, is that as we just mentioned, Avraham Avinu is waiting, looking for guests. There's no guests around, so assuming that there's no mitzvah. But he wants to do the mitzvah. He wants to bring in guests. Why is that? Because Avraham Avinu understands that the goal of Achnasas Archim is not only, the goal of hospitality is not only to take care of somebody's needs. It's actually meant for the person who is extending the hospitality to emulate Hashem. It's a chance to be able to be a giver, to be godlike. Because when we take care of other people's needs, we're emulating Hashem, who takes care of our needs and of the entire creation. So the opportunity, Avraham seeks the opportunity to be machnas archem. Avraham seeks the opportunity to be hospitable, because he understands it's not just about taking care of somebody else. It's about developing himself. It's about growing himself. It's about emulating Hashem. And therefore, it's not enough for him just to sit back. There's no guests. Fine. No, that's not enough. Avraham wants to emulate Hashem, and therefore he is looking for the guests. Because the goal of being hospitable, is not just to fulfill someone's needs, but that we should give and we should emulate Hashem. Therefore, more than what the homeowner does for the poor man does for the homeowner. The homeowner is taking care of the physical needs of the poor man. The poor man is enabling the Baal HaBayis, the homeowner, to emulate Hashem. And that's what Avraham Avinu was seeking to do here.
It's like giving tzedakah. Right?
Correct. Same idea.
Four people to give tzedakah too.
Right. Pasuk Beis. Vayisa Eina Vayar. He lifted up his eyes and he saw. V'hinei Shloisha Anashim Nitzavim Alav. Behold, three people were standing over him. Vayar and he saw. Vayaretz Likrasam. He ran out to greet them. Mipesach Ha'el from the opening of his tent. Vayishtaku Arza. And he bowed down to the ground. Vayomar and he said, Adonai, my master. Imna Matzasi are actually, my master. Imna Matzasi Chayim Be'inecha, if I have found favor in your eyes, Am Nasavam Al Avdech, do not pass from upon your servant. So Rashi tells us that this word Adonai, my master, has two ways of being interpreted. This is Rashi, the bottom right of the right column, three lines to the bottom. Who was Avram addressing when he said the word Adonai, my master? L'gadol shevehem Omar. He was addressing this to the Godol shevehem, the one who appeared to be the greater one of all three. V'karam kulam Adonim. He called them all masters. L'gadol Omar Amar Anasavar. And to the leader, let's call him, he said, do not pass. Who, once he doesn't pass, Yamdu his friends will remain. According to this interpretation, the word here of Adonai is not a name of Hashem, it's not holy, it's a non-holy description. So according to the first explanation, who is Avraham addressing when he says Adonai? He's addressing the people, addressing the three wayfarers, the three travelers. He's focusing on the most important one of them, and when he convinces him to stay, the rest of them will stay. Dover Acher, then Rashi brings out another explanation. Kodesh, the word here of Adonai is holy. It's Moshe that Avraham is talking to the Ribbono Shel Olam. V'haya Omer, and what was he saying to Hashem when it says, Allah Sabra, do not pass from upon your servant. Omer LaKodesh Baruch Hu LaHamtin Lai, he was telling the Ribbono Shel Olam, saying to the Ribbono Shel Olam to wait for him, at Sheyaret V'yachnis Es Ha'archim, so that he'll be able to have enough so that he can run and bring in the guests. So basically, he's saying to Ribbono Shel Olam, hold on, don't leave, I'll be right back. Okay? So according to the second explanation, who is Avraham addressing when he says, Adonai, my master, do not pass from your servant? It's the Ribbono Shel Olam. Mm-hmm. That's what he's referring to. So we have one interpretation that this word is Avraham addressing the traveler, and according to the second interpretation, he is addressing Hashem. So Rabbi Mordechai Kamenetsky points out, it's an interesting idea, an interesting point to make, and that is that very often in Midrashim, we find differences of opinion, how to interpret something. But typically, the gap between the explanations isn't going to be that drastic. You're typically not going to have one explanation at one extreme and the other explanation at a different extreme. That's not typical for Midrash. And therefore, he says, in this case, we have one interpretation of the word Adonai referring to a human being. According to another interpretation, is referring to Hashem. That seems to be pretty opposite, pretty drastically opposite. But the answer is, as he says, that it's not that drastic. Because you have the Ribbono Shel Olam, you have a human being that's created, B'Tzelem Elokim, in the image of Hashem. And therefore, to say that one word can be used to address both Hashem and both the human being is not that drastic. Because when Avraham is addressing the traveler to be machnas archim, to be hospitable to him, to care for him, to serve for him, he approaches him and looks at him in the sense of, I am here to honor at Salam Alekim, I'm here to take care of someone in the image of Hashem. Therefore, the word can be, there can be this argument exactly who Avraham is addressing, but it's not so oppositely, it's not opposite from one end to the other. The Ribbono Shel Olam is Adonai, my master, and so could a human being be addressed the same way, because a human being is created with Tzelem Elokim in the image of Hashem. Okay, now, on the other hand, so that's one thing. But we do see from the fact, according to the second interpretation, that Avraham was addressing the Ribbono Shel Olam and he said, wait here until I come back to take care of the guests, that as from here we see a principle that our sages say, Gedoy lachnos es archim yoyser mekabalas b'nei ashchina. Greater is being hospitable to guests than receiving the divine presence. Because here, Avraham Avinu was in the middle of having a prophecy. He's in the middle of having a prophecy from Hashem. And he tells the Ribbono Shel Olam, hold on, I'll be right back. He's leaving the Shechina to take care of guests. You see from here that it's greater to take care of guests than to receive, than to speak with the Shechina. How do we understand that? So Rabbi Zelig Pliskin, in his sefer, in his book, Love Your Neighbor, brings from Rabbi Noach Weinberg Zatzal, the explanation is the following. That when you do kindness with someone, as we said before, you're emulating Hashem. So the choice is speaking to Hashem or emulating Hashem. And what we're seeing from here is that emulating Hashem is greater than speaking to Hashem. That's what Avraham Avinu is doing. He's emulating Hashem and taking care of the guests, and that is what Chazal mean is greater than speaking to the Shechina. Emulating Hashem is greater than speaking to the Shechina. That is what we see here from this episode. Okay, let's move on to the next pasuk. Pasuk Dalet. Yukach Na Mat Mayim. So Avram is addressing the guests, and he says, "Yukach no bet mayim. Let's let a little bit of water be taken. Verachatzu ragleichem. Wash your feet. V'shanu tachas eitz and lean under the tree. Ve'echaf aslechem, and I will take a loaf of bread. V'sadu libchem, satisfy your hearts. Achat aveiru, and then you can go." So Avram Avinu talks about bringing some water, bringing some bread, and then as the rest of the parsha continues, Avram Avinu himself takes care of them, stands over them, serves them, and serves them the food personally. So Rashi points out on these words, Yukachna, which is Rashi in the left column, about five lines from the top, the word Yukachna, let it be taken, Al Yidei Shaliach. It doesn't say, I will take water for you. Avram Avinu says, let water be taken. But in the next pasuk by the bread, it says, Ve'ekha, I will take. But here it says, let it be taken. That means, says Rashi, Ayyadei Shaliach. Someone else is going to do it. V'akadosh Baruch Hu Shilom Levanav Ayyadei Shaliach. The Rabbanu Shel Olam paid back his descendants also through an agent. Shenemar V'yarem Moshe Es Yadai V'yachas Hasela. Moshe lifted up his staff and he hit the rock. Meaning, because of the fact that Moshe had the water brought to the slaves, not directly by him, but through someone else, therefore, when his descendants were given water in the desert, it didn't come directly from Hashem. It came through an agent, which was the rock. Wow, since later on, in the next pasuk, we see that Avram Avinu himself gave the bread, because of that, the food, meaning the mun given to the Jewish people, came directly from Hashem. Now, the Gemara in Baba Metzia elaborates more on this, and I'll read you the Gemara. Kol mash asa Avraham l'malachei asheres ba'atzmai. Whatever Avraham did for the angels himself, asa kadosh baruch hu l'banav ba'atzmai. Corresponding to that, Rabbeinu Shalom also did himself. Kol mash asa Avraham ayidei shaliach. But whatever Avraham did through an agent, asa kadosh baruch hu l'banav ayidei shaliach. The Rabbeinu Shalom did it through an agent. So, for example, v'la'bokar ratz Avraham. Avraham ran to the cattle, took care of that himself. What do we see from there? V'ruach natzameis Hashem. That when the quail, the slub, was given to the Jewish people to eat, it was brought in by a wind. That's considered directly coming from Hashem. V'yikachem v'chalav. He took the butter and the milk. He himself served it to them. Corresponding to that, hinini mamter lechem, hinini mamter lechem, lechem in Hashemayim. Behold, I will rain down for you food from the heavens. The man came from down from heaven to the Jewish people, straight from God to the Jewish people. He is standing over them, waiting on them. Hashem says, I will be waiting there by the rock for you. At the end, Avram escorts them himself. Hashem leads them daytime with a cloud. Okay, so these are all the examples of where Avraham does something himself directly. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam now acts directly for Avraham's descendants. Yukach no ba'an mayim, but because he said, let water be taken, v'hikisa ba'atzur, you will hit the rock, v'yatsa mimenu mayim ishasa am, and the water will come out and the nation will drink. Because Avraham didn't directly give the water, he did it through an emissary, so too, instead of the water coming directly from Hashem, it came by way of the rock. So whatever he did himself, Hashem did himself. Whatever he did through an emissary, Hashem did through an emissary. So you see that this episode, through this story of hospitality that is being recorded here in this week's Parsha, everything that Avraham did actually set the course for the future of his descendants. His descendants would be sustained in the desert by Hashem. But depending on the manner of how Avraham took care of the guests, that is how Hashem would sustain and take care of Avraham's descendants. Whatever Avraham does directly, Hashem does directly. Whatever he doesn't do directly, Hashem doesn't do directly. Yes?
The question is, why is this the case? So at the beginning we said that emulating Hashem is even greater than talking to Hashem.
Okay.
And so since our goal is to emulate Hashem, but so Abraham should have been emulating Hashem rather than Hashem emulating Abraham.
Well, I mean, let's put it this way. Abraham is supposed to emulate Hashem,
right,
which he's doing. The question is how to speak, how well is he doing it? But he's doing it.
Right.
And Hashem, the reward that comes for that, measure for measure, works depending on how Abraham did it. Hashem is about emulating Abraham. Abraham is gaining, is getting rewarded.
Okay.
That's his reward.
Well, except not he, the Jewish people.
Well, so the reward is not going to come to him, it's going to come to his descendants. Okay.
Abraham never asked their names at all?
Doesn't say. The Ber Yosef asks the following question. All right. So we see from here that whatever Avraham Avinu did here, that's what happened for his descendants later on. So the Ber Yosef asks, you know, this is not the first story of hospitality that Avraham Avinu ever did. It's not. He did many more beforehand. Okay? And it's quite possible that when the other guests needed water, who served it, he brought it himself. So why are all the acts that Avraham Avinu did before ignored, and this is the only one that seems to count? And the same thing for the whole idea of the reward that comes, right? Everything Avraham did here is now going to be rewarded to his descendants later in the desert. Why is it only this action and not any other action, not the previous actions? Why weren't those previous actions enough for his children to merit the sustenance in the desert?
Because he didn't have children until they told him he's going to have a son.
That is true, but the question is, though, why is it that all the other acts of hospitality that he did, why were they basically, why don't they make any difference? Only this act of hospitality makes a difference. So he explains that the answer is that as we read, and as we mentioned, Avraham Avinu now, it's the third day after his bris. That is the weakest day for a child or for anybody who has a bris. It's hot. And this is really, he's really in a physical state that really should say that he shouldn't be doing any of this. He should not be looking for guests. He certainly shouldn't run to them when he sees them. Abraham, what he's doing here, says the Ber Yosef, is really acting, I'm not sure if we should use the word superhuman, but Abraham is acting beyond the normal capacity of human nature. Human nature would say, Abraham, lay in bed, you should not be here. You should not be doing this. That is what normal human capacity would say. But Avraham Avinu goes beyond that. And he's ready to do it, and he does it with alacrity. And even after he does it, it's not like he sits down afterwards and tells, you know, his son, tells Yishmael to do it. One thing he tells Yishmael to do. But it's not like you'd think maybe, all right, you know, you start off and then you say, okay, I'm going to sit down and let somebody take care of the rest. That's not what happens. Abraham is busy with it from beginning to end. So Abraham here displayed a hospitality that was beyond the norm. All the other hospitality they displayed was great acts. It was very nice. It was a great mitzvah that he did, and I'm sure he did it with great dedication. But it wasn't something that was out of the norm. It wasn't something that was beyond his capacity to do. But this one was. This one was an act of hospitality that was beyond the normal human capacity to be able to do. This was the hospitality that now merited for his children. What merited that his descendants would now be taken care of beyond the norm of nature? What was the merit to create the miracles that would sustain his descendants in the desert? The answer is, Hashem would go beyond nature, measure for measure, for what Abraham did beyond his nature. Abraham is hospitable beyond his nature. The reward for that is, Hashem says, I will sustain your descendants beyond nature. So that's what's happening here. What's happening here is that this act is the act that's defining the future of Avraham's descendants, because this is an act that he is doing beyond his capacity, beyond his nature. And because that's the kind of act this is, that now merits for his descendants, so that Hashem will act beyond nature and do miracles to sustain them. But being that now, that's what's happening here. What's happening here is that the descendants are meriting miracles because Abraham went beyond his nature. So then depending on how he went beyond his nature, that's how much Hashem goes beyond his nature. Since when he goes beyond his nature and he personally takes care of things, he's gone beyond the nature at that level that he himself is doing it. So then the Ribbono Shel Olam, when he is going beyond nature, not his nature, but going beyond nature, is doing it directly himself. when Avraham Avinu is taking care, even when Avraham Avinu says, let the water be taken, right? That's going beyond nature too. He shouldn't be taking care of any of this. But because he didn't do it himself, in fact, in this act of going beyond his nature, he didn't go beyond his nature to the level of he himself doing it. Therefore, corresponding to that, when Hashem went beyond nature, he didn't do it himself directly, but rather indirectly through an agent.
And of course, getting water by hitting a stone.
Sorry?
Getting water by hitting a stone is also...
Yeah, I'm saying it's a miracle.
Yeah.
It's a miracle, that's the truth. But it's not considered a miracle directly from Hashem. That's the difference. There is a difference. The experience must be different. You know, something that comes directly from Hashem is one kind of experience. What's not as direct is not the same kind of experience. They're both miracles. But the reason why we're not thinking about all the other acts that Avraham Avinu did is because it's specifically this act who is going beyond his nature that merits that Hashem goes beyond nature for his descendants. But because it corresponds to what Avraham Avinu did beyond his nature, depending on how he did it, that is how Hashem responded. So the whole thing is a great act of an Avram's part. It's all beyond his nature. Therefore, in every aspect, he merits a miracle for his descendants. But depending on how he went beyond his nature, that makes a difference in how Hashem rewarded that himself. Avram himself goes beyond his nature, Hashem does it directly. Avraham doesn't go beyond his nature directly, that to do for his for the guests directly. The Ribbono Shel Olam now also didn't do it directly. But so therefore, that's his explanation as to why it's this act itself that's determining everything, not the previous ones. Okay. That's how the Ber Yosef explains. Now, the next thing that I want to share with you is the following. Two stories. The Chafetz Chaim points out that, as we just mentioned now, Avraham Avinu did an act of hospitality that was beyond the norm. And we're supposed to try to emulate our avos. Chafetz Chaim says to be able to say we're going to emulate Avram completely like he did in his state of weakness and sickness, to be able to emulate him completely and do exactly like he did, that we can't do. But in the very least, says the Chafetz Chaim, we do see from this how great a mitzvah hachlas asarachem is, how great hospitality is, that Avraham Avinu went so far to try to fulfill it. And it also shows us that when it's difficult for us to do that, to be hospitable, we see from Avraham Avinu that we should try to extend ourselves. Just as he extended himself to be hospitable, even though it was really hard for him, that we should at least try to emulate him in that level, on our own level, at our own level, that when it's, even when we have it, even when it's difficult for us, physically difficult for us to perform hospitality, we should still try to extend ourselves. So there's a famous story with Rav Chaim Isaac Grudzinski, the famous Rebbe in Vilna, that he was, it was Sukkos, and he had a guest in the Sukkah, and he was entertaining the guest. When it came time to eat, Rav Chaim Isaac left the Sukkah, when it came time to eat, he was entertaining a guest on Sukkos. When it came time to eat in the Sukkah, Chaim Eizer said that due to his ill health and the cold weather is not good for him, it makes him very uncomfortable. He's not obligated to eat in the Sukkah, and so he's going to stay inside. The guest told Rabbi Grudzinski that he's fine, the cold doesn't bother him, and therefore he is going to go to eat in the Sukkah. Short while later, Rabbi Grudzinski joins him in the Sukkah. And the man said to him, you're sick. You're a mitztayer. Mitztayer means you're very uncomfortable. If you're in a state of great discomfort in the Sukkah, you're exempt from the Sukkah. So he said to him, why are you coming out to the Sukkah? So he said, basically, mitztayer, suffering, may exempt me from the mitzvah of eating in the Sukkah, but I still have the mitzvah of achnasas arachem. I still have the mitzvah of being hospitable. And therefore he came out to eat in the Sukkah. It's an example of the fact how he wanted to extend himself in the mitzvah even though it was very physically difficult for him. That much we can learn to emulate from Avraham Avinu, that the mitzvah of Hachnasas Arachem is great enough that even if, let's say, we're not necessarily physically up to it, to try to extend ourselves and still do it. Okay, that's one story I want to share with you. Now, the next story is a story of Isser Zalman Meltzer. And I've heard this story before, but you know, preparing for this year, I went through it more, and I really gained, and I just person and get a lot more appreciation for it. So Rabbi Zalman Meltzer was a Rebbe Yushalayim, and the story goes, I know there's more than one story about his apartment, had a lot of steps to go up. And one time, somebody basically came running into the house and said to him, the Chazanish is coming. Chazanish is coming. Chazanish, a person came, saw the Chazanish walking towards the house. The Chazanish must be coming to visit Rabbi Zalman Meltzer. So as soon as Rabbi Zalman heard that, he ran to put on his Shabbos jacket in honor of the prestigious guest. And he ran down the steps in order to greet him. Okay, a little while passes. And who does Rabbi Zalman walk in with? Not the Chazanish. Somebody who maybe resembled the Chazanish, but wasn't the Chazanish. It was just a simple person. And everybody was like, and everyone was shocked at how Rabbi Zalman walks him in with tremendous honor, sits him down at the table, at the front of the table, and he starts telling the person, you know, what can I do for you? Can I offer you a glass of tea? Can I give you a piece of cake? Would you like to wash for a meal? And the guest himself doesn't know what's going on. Like, why is Rabbi Zalman treating him like this? And he says, no, Chas v'Shalom, I don't want to trouble the Rosh Yeshiva. All I did was come here because I'm planning on going to America to collect money to marry off my daughter. And I came here for a letter of a recommendation. So Rabbi Zalman quickly grabbed a piece of paper and a pen, and with great emotion, he sat there and wrote a letter with great praises of this person, how what a wonderful person, from the most precious people in Yerushalayim, and he heartily wished him good luck, and he walked him down the steps himself. Squirted him down the steps the whole way. He comes back into the house, Rabbi Zalman. Everybody there is wondering, like, what's going on? Why did you do all this? So Rabbi Zalman said like this. He said, Hachnosas Arachim is a very big mitzvah. And honoring someone else, honoring a person, just honoring another Jew, is also a great mitzvah. And actually, we should treat every single Jew, whoever he is, when it comes to being hospitable or giving respect, we should treat every Jew as if he was a great Talmud Chacham. We should treat everybody like that. We should treat everybody the same when it comes to hospitality. Everybody should be given the greatest level of honor. Okay? As we find by Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was a very prestigious person. And he waited on these three Arabs. It didn't make a difference who they were. He gave them the greatest honor. He treated them like the greatest people. He himself was serving them. We see Avraham Avinu, we should be treating everybody the same. Unfortunately, we don't do that. Unfortunately, we don't see the mitzvah the way we should. And we make a difference between somebody who is prestigious, somebody who is chashev, and somebody who is simple. He says, but now that it was bashert, now that Hashem, the hashkacha, the divine providence of Hashem, had brought about that I should think that I'm about to receive a great person and to give him tremendous honor, and mistakenly it wasn't that person, it's somebody else. Okay, so now I shouldn't now be as involved and show the same respect and hospitality that I would have to the Chazanish? Why should that change? Why should that change just because he's a simple Jew? And then he said, and is there such a thing as a simple Jew? And then after a few moments, he thought again and he said, basically, if Ben HaShemayim had decided this Jew is going to get the kind of honor deserving that the Chazanish would get, if that's Hashem's decree, that's what's going to happen. If it's Bashert that this Jew should get all that honor, he's going to get it. So the story of Rabbi Zalman teaches us how important it is that when we are hospitable, that we're hospitable at the highest level that we can be, that we treat our guests with the greatest respect, with the greatest honor. The Sefer Chassidim actually says, what's the most important thing to do for a guest? What's the most important to serve him? What's the most important thing to serve a guest? A smile. That's the most important thing. A smile. Okay. You may not have much food to give him, but even if it with a smile, that's hospitality. Yeah, do it all with a smile. But from Avraham Avinu we learned, treat the person with as much respect as you possibly could. And again, are we going to be able to treat any person like we would a very prestigious Talmid Chacham who's in our house? It's not the same. That's the way we are for people. But essentially, every single Jew should get the highest respect, the highest level of hospitality. Everybody should be getting the same level. Unfortunately, we can't do that. But in the very least, we should bear in mind how important it is to give a person, any person we're being hospitable to give them the highest level of honor that we can. One last thought. One last thought on Achnasas Archim. The Chafetz Chaim made the following comment. In Pirkei Avos it says, "V'yu aniyim b'nei beisecha, let the poor be like members of your household." It's a statement in Pirkei Avos. "V'yu aniyim b'nei beisecha, let the poor be like members of your household." And there's a number of explanations what that means. The Chafetz Chaim says it means like this. Some people are not comfortable of performing the mitzvah Achnasas Archim, bringing people for a meal, because they say, "I really can't serve him anything special. I really don't have what to be hospitable in a good way. You know, I really don't have any way of doing it the right way. I don't have the right food. It's not gonna be good. I'm not gonna be able to really give this person a good meal. I'm not gonna be able to give this person the honor he deserves." And therefore, because of that, they don't perform Achnasas Archim, because basically it's like, you know, I don't really have the proper way to perform it. So on that, the Chafetz Chaim says, Chazal taught us, let the poor like to be the people of your house, right? You feed this to your family, and it's good enough for your family, it'll be good enough for the poor man too. It'll be good enough for the guest. Don't worry about how fancy it is. Don't worry about whether it's honorable enough for the guest. That person needs a meal, the person needs hospitality, the person needs a place to stay, so it's not the best accommodations. Are these accommodations enough for your family? Remember, it's enough for the guests and for the poor man also. And again, the main thing, as the Sefer Hasidim says, is make sure you do it with a smile.
I think what you're saying here is, well, you're going to feed your family even if you don't have anything special. You know,
right.
It's an obligation, you do it on a regular basis.
Right.
You're not going to say, well, you know, kids go, I don't have anything special for you.
Correct.
Go somewhere else.
Correct.
So.
Exactly. Okay. Okay. The next thing, we'll turn a few pages. Take a look on page 96. Top of the page. So Yitzchak was born. Vatera Sares ben Hagar Hamitzris Asher Yoda L'Avraham Etzachek. Sara Sua, the son of Hagar, the Egyptian woman who had given birth to Abraham Mitzachek. Mitzachek is translated as mocking. Now, what was he doing exactly? So Rashi's first explanation to Mitzachek is Lashon Avodas Chachamim. The word Mitzachek actually can be a word that expresses idol worship. By the eagle, by the golden calf, it said the Jewish people arose, got up Mitzachek to sport. That was a form of idol worship. That was referring to idol worship. So you see, the word Mitzachek can be used in the context of idol worship, and that's what it means here also. It means that he was worshiping idols. She saw him worshiping idols, and what was her reaction to that? Pasuk Yud, Vatayomer L'Avraham, Harei Shama Hazayis Vesbenah. Chase out, get rid of this maidservant and her son. Okay, she sees him worshiping idols, get him out. So the question that's asked is, why didn't she try working with him? You know, there are a lot of idol worshippers who came through Abram and Sarah's tent.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of idol worshippers. Now, they weren't living there, but it's not like they never dealt with an idol worshipper. So why was there no effort here? Why was there no effort to try to work on Yishmael?
Too close to the...
Yeah, but why not work on him? Why not work on him?
Maybe it would affect the different,
yeah. So you're saying that it wouldn't be enough time to work on him without affecting others. Perhaps.
Probably
so I saw an explanation. Excuse me?
Probably Avram did work on him, presumably. He didn't need Sarah to tell him. Mm. Sarah sees it's not working.
So Mitzachek is not the first time?
Oh, Avram worked on Yishmael, right?
He raised Yishmael. It doesn't say that he saw Yishmael worshiping idols and working on him.
Yes.
He raised him, right? So it's very possible that from the fact that she saw it, that Avram Avinu didn't see it. Okay? The question is, though, again, you know, Avram is told to listen to Sarah. But even from Sarah's point, why didn't she try working on him? So Barry's saying, well, perhaps because he was right there, not enough time. It's gonna have a bad effect before they can do anything. Perhaps. So I share with you an interesting explanation. And that is that we can't ignore the fact that the word we use here is mitzachek, which doesn't typically mean idol worship. It typically means to mock. We're saying, Rashi tells us, we find that this word is used in relation to idol worship. So that's what it means here. That's what it's referring to over here. But why use the word mitzachek? Why choose that word mocking in this context? And therefore, the explanation that I saw is that there was two things going on here with Yishmael. Primarily, the problem was he was worshiping idols. But there was another problem. And this was the other problem that was not going to allow Sarah or anyone to work on Yishmael. And that is because he mocked. That means that when Yishmael believed in something, when Yishmael was into something, other things, he mocked them. Right? He tried telling him to do something, he mocked it. Something that he believed in, something that he wanted to do, he was going to do it. And not only was he going to do it, he would make fun of anything otherwise. He was called eletz, little etzanis, mocking. When you take something of importance, whether it be a person, whether it be a concept, and you mock it, then you basically tear it down, and it doesn't allow you to be able to accept the truth. When you mock something, anything other than, if you mock things, you can't accept them. Sarah understood from Yishmael, from his behavior, that he would be mitzachik, that he was a mocker, that he mocked things. He mocked things that wasn't to his fancy. And therefore, if they were to be working on him to try to convince him and work with him not to worship idols, he would have mocked them. And once he is in that state of latsanas, of mocking, there's nothing to work with. And this idea is brought out in the Maseilas Yesharim, when he talks about leitzanis, when he talks about mocking things. And he says like this, I'll read it to you in the English translation. Consider the severity of levity, which refers to here mocking things, and its destructive power. For just like a shield smeared with oil deflects and drops arrows from it, causing them to fall to the ground, preventing them from reaching the body of the man, so too mockery before rebuke and reprimand. For one act of mockery or a little laughter, a man casts from himself a great many rousings and impressions that the heart was made to feel due to stimulation in seeing or hearing matters that awakened him to an account and examination of his deeds. The power of mockery knocks it all to the ground, thus not making any impression whatsoever on him. This is not due to the ineffectiveness of the matters, nor to lack of understanding on his part, but rather to the power of mockery which demolishes all matters of ethics and fear of God. That's what it does. You want to tear something down, you want to knock something down, you make fun of it. And it really has a very strong power. It affects you. You're just not going to be open to hearing things if you basically just knock and make fun of things that aren't to your liking or to your agreement. Now, even more than that, Sarah understood that if Yishmael is going to be a letz, if he's going to mock, and he's going to mock the rebuke against idol worship, then that actually would have a power to influence others towards idol worship. Because the same way mockery does not allow you to accept something, the mockery you make in front of other people of that thing won't let them accept it either. So it's a very, very powerful tool in being able to convince people towards what you want to do. So Sarai says, if this is going to be the level, this is going to be, if this is the attitude, this is the action, behavior of Yishmael, We can't take a chance with that. This is something we can't take a chance with. Because he's got the characteristics that will have him refuse to refuse the lessons against idol worship, and he'll even be able, through his mockery, through his litzanis, to convince others. Where do we find the power of mockery has the power to influence others? We find that by Korach. And there's the Yaakov Shemai Nepashas Korach says the following. There's a pasuk in Tehillim that says, "V'moishav leitzim lo yashav." Fortune is the person who is not set amongst mockers, amongst scoffers. Who are the scoffers? Who's the scoffer that you shouldn't sit amongst? Zeh Korach. Referring to Korach, Shem Esloitzitz al Moshe Aaron. Because he used to make fun. He used to make mockery of Moshe and Aaron. Maise kinas aleim kol akol. Shemem vayakav aleim Korach as kol ha'eda. The pasuk says, Korach gathered the whole people together. And he gathered all the people together, and he wanted to tell them about Moshe and Aaron. I'm going to tell you who Moshe and Aaron are. Hisko lemon lefneim divrei sonos. He started telling them words of mockery. Levity, mockery, whatever words you want to use. Amar lahem, he said to them, Almana achas haise b'shchunasi. I'm going to tell you about a widow that lived in my neighborhood. V'ima shtei naris yisaimus. And she has two orphan daughters. She had one field. She decided to plant the field. This is the desert, but I guess they did these things in the desert. Or maybe he was just this, or everybody knew who was making up the story. So she came to plow. So Moshe comes over to her and says, no planting with an ox and a donkey together. Right? But no plowing with a shor v'chamor, with a donkey and an ox. She came to plant. Don't mix plants. Got to make sure that when you plant your field, don't mix plants. She came to harvest and to make a pile. Omar, he said to her, Hanichu leket shechlepeya. Wait, you got to make sure you leave for the poor. Listen, I know, man, you don't have that much either, but you got a field and you're planting, you got to leave for the poor. She came to finish actually, preparing her produce. Omar La, then Maishmina says to her, Tani Truma, Umaishmisha Maisha Shani. Oh, you gotta give Truma to the Kayane. That's my brother. You gotta give Maishmisha to the Levi. That's me. Maisha Shani. Hitzdika La Sadin. She accepted Hashem's judgment. Vinasta Lai, and she gave it. Ma'asa. So what did she do? Amda Umachres Asada. She decided, agriculture, farmer, not for me. She sells the field. She bought two lambs, two sheep. In order to wear their shearings and to benefit from their children, from what they produce. Came in Sheoldu, they gave birth. Aaron comes over and says, I get the firstborn. Any firstborn animal that's born goes to the Kayin. All right, she accepted it and she gave him the lambs. Higiyas man gaziza. Came time to shear the wool. The gaziza, and she sheared it. Amar la. Aaron comes knocking at the door again. Tenuila rishas hagez. I get the first shearings. Amar ein di kayach lamibish hazeh. I can't deal with this guy anymore. Harini shechtasim vaechvad. I'm just going to shech them and eat them. She went and she shechted. Aaron comes running again. There are parts of the animal that I get. I give them, hand them over. Okay. The amra harayda lichayim. She gets so frustrated with the animal she shechted. She says it should be chayim. We don't have anything to do with it. He says chayim. It's all mine. Chayim goes. He declares it chayim. It goes to the kayin. And what happened at the end? This poor widow and her poor orphan daughters walked away crying.
It's a good contemporary.
Right? Moshe and Aaron do all these things, and who do they say they're doing it? No, Hashem told us this. This is all what Hashem told us. Right? Korach, great politician, great campaigner. Political satire at its best. That's what he did. And the Medrash is telling us this because, yeah, this is how he got the people to listen. This is how he got the people to listen. And therefore, this is an example. This is the power of Litzanis. This is the power of mockery and levity. And it was these powers, it was this trait that she saw in Yishmael that Sarai says, okay, no, this is not going to work. We cannot, there's nothing to work with here. Garish, he's got to go out. And, you know, the truth is that when you talk about mockery, it doesn't have to be on the level of Kairach. It could be even sometimes a little joke at the wrong time. Someone trying to impart a lesson and you make a little joke about it, you lost the whole thing. There's a person of stature, you make a joke about the person in circumstance, in certain situations, the little joke can tear the person down. So, you know, jokes are jokes. We do them all the time. But you gotta be careful. It has to be calculated. You gotta know when to say it, how to say it, and in what context to say it. Because if you mock something, then there is a strong potential, a strong possibility that it will have a negative effect on that thing. And the influence that was wanted to be given to others, or the influence that you should be receiving, is going to be just knocked down to the ground, because if you make fun of something, you make light of something, even in the smallest way, you tear it down, it's not something that you're going to be ready to accept or to deal with. Okay.